This is Jan Cox Talk number 3180, recorded on July 30th, 2004.
I was asking a question, asking you to answer the question. What if there is no such thing as individual consciousness? And I went through last time at 20 plus minutes, pointing out everything from soap operas to Shakespeare to everyday life, and giving you my strongest urge and encouragement, either look at ordinary life or turn on your television, watch fictional dramas, watch real life dramas, people being interviewed. Anybody with any interest in understanding something extraordinary, it has got to be impossible for such a person to relentlessly look at this. And the idea, is there such a thing as individual consciousness? And someday, it has got to hit you what I'm trying to describe, that you can watch a politician being interviewed. You can see a fictional drama that some human wrote, man and woman talking, two partners in crime talking. But you sit and you look at these two talking heads, and something is wrong with you. Which is to say that nothing is wrong with you. You're perfectly normal. If you can't look at that and it finally strike you, I know of no other word than helpless. Consciousness is helpless. And these two people are not doing anything resembling a so-called conversation among separate equals. It is not two entirely different kingdoms, two kings, two individuals with free will, the ability to control their own thoughts, to direct their own thoughts, to select that which interests them mentally. It is not two people with such abilities holding a conversation. It's something else. If you recall right at the end, last time, my mouth, my consciousness, suddenly came up with a picture that I still like. You're in prison and you're locked in to a ping pong game that never ends. Think about it. You're in prison. I mean, that should be enough. But not only are you in prison, but you in some way have been put into this ping pong game with a continuing string of opponents, in quotation marks. People on the other side of the table. They come, they go. They come and go and many people suddenly return. But there you are in prison. Not only in prison, but it's in this forced ping pong game that never ends. That brings you up to date. Give you another way, a slight variation of this whole thing, a verbal variation. It would be a fair description to say that enlightenment, waking up, is disengaging from this endless game. Conversely, might be a better place to start. Can you still hear me? If you look at the very thing I've been talking about, another way to see it, you can see it in you. You can look at other people, and you can see it. You can hear it. It's consciousness by nature. Our first sight wants to be engaged. More precisely, by nature, it will be engaged in this endless conversation. Not a conversation between two independent people. Better put, between two independent consciousnesses, two independent tongues, two independent minds. That's what I was trying so hard last time to describe. Is when you look at people, like I was saying in a drama or someone being interviewed, you're not seeing a conversation between these two people. You're looking in on one small part of a gigantic conversation. This whole prison, it's like Alcatraz with 6 billion people inside. And the conversation never ends. First two guys, two prisoners over here are talking. Prisoner A and B. Then prisoner A turns to prisoner X. Then prisoner X, prisoner A. It just keeps going from person to person. But the conversation never ceases. If you look at yourself, if you look at your own consciousness, it is relentlessly seeking engagement. It actually finds it, but to give us something to talk about, it's seeking engagement. It's seeking to be a part of this species-wide conversation of consciousness. You don't have to be talking out loud to be engaged in it. When you're daydreaming, you are engaged in the species-wide conversation. When you pick up a book, the newspaper, turn on the radio, television, go to a movie, call up a friend, your consciousness is actively seeking. And look at it and tell me that to say that it does it relentlessly is an exaggeration. Put it another way, same thing, the other direction. Does it ever stop? Does it ever stop? Consciousness has you, has the body, turning its head under our civilized conditions, not simply for the sake of physically monitoring the environment for danger. You're sitting at a traffic light stopped, your door's locked, in the middle of traffic, noon, downtown Saigon. Okay. Philadelphia. You're in no danger. The car stops. You know you're going to be sitting there for 80 seconds. What does consciousness have you do? You immediately look around. For what? Not an ordinary person could come up with all sorts of answers. The obvious ones. I don't know. Just look around and see who's in the next car. Just look around. But notice, your consciousness will look around and read billboards. It will look around to see who's in the next car. But why? And again, you could come up with all sorts of answers. If you're a man, you could say, I'll look around. See, there might be a good-looking woman. You can say all of that. But if you observe your own consciousness in your head, in light of what I'm describing, it looks around. Let's say it does look around a person. Consciousness begins to talk about the person. Consciousness begins to engage itself in an imaginary encounter with the person. Hey baby, what's happening? Maybe if you're a man, you suddenly imagine her pulling down the top of her dress, pointing to the hotel on the corner, saying, meet me. And it sounds like an ordinary person could say, it's just a sexual daydream. I have them all the time. Yeah. But it's also something else. It's consciousness engaging continually in this species-wide, endless conversation. And it does not have to actually talk to people. Daydreams will do. It's obviously the desire of whether you actually would like to be physically engaged in a conversation with somebody, or whether a daydream will do. It obviously changes from person to person. Some people can live a relatively isolated life. Other people can. And it changes from person to person. Noticing yourself. Sometimes, let's say you live alone. You're satisfied to sit at night, some night at home, and turn on the television or read a book. Other nights, you turn on television, and within a few minutes, just nothing's on. It doesn't get your attention, and you'll call up someone. You want them, perhaps, to meet you in person, just for a cup of coffee. Let's just go shoot the shit. But, at its weakest, daydreams furnish the engagement. At its next to the weakest, reading, listening to the radio, watching television. But consciousness, by its nature, I challenge you, because it pays off, to look. I say that it never stops. It is driven to be engaged in this species-wide conversation. Rather mildly, over the last couple of years, I've mentioned, I was using the term man's collective mind, or man's collective consciousness, if you recall. And I tried to picture for you, like a layer, a non-known layer of our atmosphere. It's like encasing theirs. But up there, there's a strata of atmosphere that is man's. The way I put it was man's collective mind. And that everybody is like a phone. Or like a speaker in a worldwide intercom system, a network. And you're plugged in to this worldwide mind. But in a sense, I found it more productive. It's the same thing, really. But to look at it, to investigate it on the basis that it's a worldwide, this huge floating thing, not a mind. Continue, always use that if it helps. But it sounds sort of silly on its face. But it's like this big floating conversation. It's not your consciousness's conversation. It's not anybody else's individual conversation. It's the human conversation. And if you keep looking and listening, it's got to one day hit you. It's right in front of you. The two people you're watching on television, a reporter and someone being interviewed, or, as I said, you're just as well off to look at fiction, a drama, because human consciousness wrote the drama. It'll be two men, two detectives talking, or a man and a woman, two lovers. And you watch the face, the camera shot up close. What they're saying is these fictional characters are these, quote, real life people, a reporter, and someone he's interviewing. A general, a politician. And one person, as I said, I challenge you also to look generally. They're either making an accusation or they're asking a question, which is always just under an accusation. I did leave out one. Or they're making a statement about themselves, which is usually the statement that I'm not the kind of guy that's going to put up with these bullshit answers you're giving to my questions and accusations. So it all comes down to actually, I can see it whether you can. There's actually only one basic sentence. Rhetorical device that humans use. I'll try it again right quick if you didn't hear me. Listen to people talk, even when they're writing fictitional dialogue, or listen to people talk in real life, and tell me, listen, what's going on besides one of these three kinds of rhetorical operations. A question. Fred asked Mary, where the hell you been? 7 o'clock, where you been? Or it's an accusation. You've been out with that son of a bitch, Leon, again. In other words, a question, where have you been? An accusation. You've been out with Leon. Or a statement about the speaker. Hey, bitch. I ain't the kind of guy put up with some whore of mine running around with another guy. somebody. All right. Three different kind of statements, right? It's actually just one. Let me tell you the kind of guy I am. But back to tonight's point. It could be that. It could be two detectives, two thieves talking, two cattle rustlers. In other words, it can be sexual or non-sexual. But let's say that it's two detectives on a drama talking. One of them says, did you interview that woman on the third floor? And the guy goes, give me a minute. I can't do it one thing at a time. And back to the other detective. Hey, you're going to start pulling your weight around here. I ain't the kind of guy that's going to do somebody's work. Hey, man, don't kill my case. My wife, I think, is fooling around with me. What the hell do I care? We all got our problems. Listen, either in real life or fictional conversations, one man's consciousness makes a statement, asks a question, presents an accusation, and the other person is helpless. I thought about coming up with another word that sounded more mystical, even psychologically pertinent, but helpless, I swear to God, it's right there, and nobody realizes. One person, a stranger. You must know this. You could have an ordinary person standing on a corner waiting for a light to change, and suddenly someone they've never seen walks up to them and say, you son of a bitch, it's people like you that are running the world. And damn if the person won't respond to, if we knew all the facts, what is an insane statement. They people do it constantly. Family members do it. Man and wife do it. People at work do it. Strangers do it. Is one person's consciousness, and I can't talk about this forever, it becomes self-defeating. But if you look and listen, you don't have to take my definition. My descriptions may sound overblown when I'm sitting here, and your consciousness say, nah, people are not helpless. It's not that one person's consciousness, what they say, grabs the other person's consciousness and it's forced to respond. You know, your consciousness upon hearing this may be waving it off, which is helplessly responding to what I'm saying, by the way. In case you didn't catch on. Well, hell, there it is. I'm not going to waste my time to say any more. Your consciousness, you can look at it both ways. Both can be fertile grounds for your own investigation. It's there 24 hours a day. When you're asleep at night, it's going on. But it's right there. Look at it either way. You watch it in other people. It might be easiest or most rewarding to look at it on the basis that I'm saying that they're helpless. There's this big conversation. The human conversation. place, and if that doesn't strike you, if that doesn't intrigue you for the moment, you can say this. If you keep watching these two people talk, there's something else going on besides person A being fully independently conscious, planning what they are saying, responsible for everything coming out of their mouth, and with and everything being personally pertinent to them. Which if you ask an ordinary person, anybody on this planet, if you say, I'm doing a poll, would you answer me? Hell yeah, they will. You can look at it as though they're helpless. Or you can look at it, their consciousness, just like yours, is actively seeking to be engaged in, to be an active part of the conversation. So they're just walking along through the mall. You say, pardon me, would you answer a few questions? Total strangers. Their face, especially if they're alone, especially their face, they will be, oh yes, that alone is crazy. I admit I may be hyperbolic in my choice of words. How about extremely weird? Someone you don't know is walking along in the opposite direction. They're looking in store windows in a mall. And you walk up in front of them, block their way, and say, pardon, I have a list of questions. Would you answer them? They will stop. And rather than pushing you out of the way, saying, hell no, they say, I'll be delighted. They don't know the questions. They don't know you. They don't know why you picked them. They don't care. They're helpless. Their consciousness wants to be engaged. They're looking in windows. They could say, I'm window shopping. They were passing a bookstore. And if you ask them, is there any, did you go out book shopping today? No. But you never know. I was looking in the window. I look in most of the windows as I walk by. If you said, tell me the truth. What's the odds of you buying a book today? Slim. They go, probably. You go, this is a serious polling I'm doing for our local psychiatric hospital for little children with tumors, little bitty tumors. So this is serious. Level with me. Tell me the truth. Is there any chance you're going to buy a book today or any fucking day? They say, no. No, I'm not. So why, when they walk by, it took them, what, 20, 30 seconds to walk past these two big glass windows with these books? They didn't walk faster. They may have slowed down a little. And they're looking in the window, obviously reading the titles of books. They've admitted to you, there's not a chance in hell they're going to buy a book today. any day. And yet they're looking. And you can look at their little lips moving. They're reading the titles. Why? This is where you can use a variation of their helpless. When you say, pardon, I've got some questions. I need nice people to answer. Would you answer? They're helpless. Yes. They weren't helpless walking past that window. Are they? They look in and go, their consciousness go, yeah, books. Their consciousness, let's say, is more interested, clothes. Clothes, clothes, or food, books. And yet they looked and read titles. Why? Their consciousness wanted to be engaged in the worldwide conversation until they get to the next storefront, which might be clothes, chocolate. But until then, and you do realize when it reads the title of a book, America is going to hell. The guy reads it, his consciousness, and either agrees or disagrees. But his consciousness engages in conversation with that dead ink on that cold, slick paper on the cover of that book. It may as well have been a talking head in that window that he walked by, his consciousness looked. And instead of a book, it was this head sticking up on this pile of books. And it said, damn, America is going to hell. And he said, tell me about it, brother. It's those fucking Republicans. Or else, the head says, America's going to hell. They went, I'm sick of it. All of you doomsayers. We live in the world's greatest country. Don't give me that crap. Y'all bet you're a communist. Am I exaggerating? If you think so, I hate to tell you, but you're a dunce. You hadn't looked into any of this. That's what's going on. And it goes on in your ordinary consciousness, your automatic consciousness. It is same thing. It is helpless. But it is by nature actively seeking to be engaged in this endless, and do I have to say this, meaningless. You look into it and tell me I'm wrong. Meaningless. To me is the best word. We could be harsher and say this bullshit conversation. This ridiculous. But meaningless. It's usable in front of children. And it covers it. Tell me what this endless conversation in which your ordinary consciousness is engaged, seeks to be engaged, seeks or go to a movie or go out and hang around a coffee shop just on the off chance of chitting and chatting with a stranger at the next table. Go to a movie. Turn on television. Your consciousness by nature, from the time you become fully conscious, 2, 3, 4 years old, to the day you die, or Alzheimer's takes over and mercifully kills you gradually, before your sorry body falls over. That was a little humor. Look, and your consciousness does it. Then tell me, do to waking up. The desire, when you hear there's something called enlightenment. The bright golden beams of light coming down from the heavens. You know, visions. What is it? Except consciousness. In your case, individuals like us. It's a piece, a wild hair piece of consciousness in your brain that seeks to be disengaged. I'm telling you, that is a decent, a very decent description of waking up, of wanting to wake up, even when you're not sure what it is. It's wanting to disengage from that endless participation in this infinite, meaningless conversation that has nothing to do with your consciousness personally. And yet, your consciousness does it minute by minute, 24/7. If you're not aware of it, and being aware of it stops it for the moment. Of course, then it wants to talk about it. And you're back in Birmingham again. You're back a character in a Shakespeare drama. Or worse yet, Days of Our Lives. Or worse than that, I guess, Meet the Press.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks for topics of interest, or leave us a message.